From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Brazil's right-wing president Jair Bolsonaro has been in power for less than a year, but has already left an indelible mark on Latin America's largest nation. Reacting to critical investigative journalism of his government's corruption by The Intercept, Bolsonaro has threatened to imprison the American writer Glenn Greenwald. Greenwald is based in Brazil. Bolsonaro is also facing increasing pressure from indigenous groups who are fighting his assault on their communities and their lands, but his support remains strong in other sectors. The New York Times reported recently that much of Bolsonaro's support lies in the spread of online propaganda, primarily through YouTube. We turn now to Ivo Herzog, a human rights activist based in Sao Paulo, president of the board of the Vladimir Herzog Institute, named after his father, who was a Brazilian journalist tortured and assassinated by the dictatorship. Welcome to the program, Ivo.
Hi, Somalia. Thank you for inviting me.
So we had you on several months earlier, the beginning of this year, to discuss Bolsonaro's, first few weeks in office. Now we are several months, more than 6 months in. How do you view his assault on the democracy of Brazil? Is it as bad as people like yourself feared it would be, or even worse?
I think it's been much worse than we anticipated. There are two things. There is a government with a line of policies that goes against human rights, against minorities, that we were expecting. We know how to deal with a government. Besides of that, we have the person of Bolsonaro who says, disgusting things, like he says that the laws are to protect the majorities, so we don't, what do we do with the minorities, that talks about early this week with the results of the primary elections in Argentina, he says that the communists are trying to get back in government, and but here in Brazil, he will eliminate all the left-wing politicians. So what he says is unbearable. It's really offensive, but it goes even against the law, against the common sense, things about the environment that they are doing. And other things that he is already doing, for example, we have institutes that measure the burning of forests, the trees that are being put down. He didn't like the number, so he changed the head of the institutes to get the data that he wants. This is a very typical behavior of someone who lives in a dictatorship, who is an autocrat, So this piece, we didn't expect his personal role with unbearable and crazy things.
So let's turn to what it was that The Intercept has been exposing, which in turn has led to threats against one of the founding members of The Intercept, Glenn Greenwald. Earlier this year in June, The Intercept published an expose about Sergio Moro, who is currently the justice minister under Bolsonaro's government. And it turns out Moro was the judge in the case that led to the conviction of Lula, former Brazilian President Lula, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, and was directing prosecutorial strategy in that case. So clear corruption. How serious are these allegations? And instead of actually acting on what The Intercept revealed, Bolsonaro just, of course, attacked The Intercept.
Well, last year we realized that we could see that the justice in Brazil was moving towards a political agenda. The whole process against former President Lula had a timeline very unique, that it moved much faster than any other legal process in Brazil. And we saw that what was being done was just to avoid that Lula could be a candidate for the elections we had last year. The Intercept was able to receive messages that were hacked by a group of people in Brazil. So they received that hacked material from the cellular phones of several of many authorities from the government. That proves that Moro was not chasing justice. He was chasing a political agenda to avoid Lula to participate in the elections and to strengthen Bolsonaro. We have to remember that Moro, he is a first level or first instance, I don't know the right term in English, judge. So he's very early in the career of justice. And now he is the Minister of Justice in Brazil. He doesn't have the credentials. So this is a scandal by itself. And we know that there is a hidden agenda to nominate him to the Supreme Court of Brazil. And again, when Bolsonaro suggests to arrest Greenwald, he's going even against the law. And Moro agrees.
Just that
with
making that suggestion is improper.
It's improper. And actually, Bolsonaro makes all kinds of improper suggestions. Right now, he's indicating his son to be the ambassador of Brazil in the United States, for example.
That's right.
But going back to the case of The Intercept, he gave that threat to arrest the journalist, Greenwald. The society react against this. And what is important is that we have, there are two different things. There is the government and there is the state, the union. The union goes, a government begins and ends. The state, the union, the constitution, ruled by the constitution, it stays and through the different governments. The Bolsonaro and his government is not respecting the state. The democracy that we have, the institutions that were put together since the end of the dictatorship 30 years ago. Nevertheless, those institutions are there and they are ruling against several of things that Bolsonaro is trying to do. For example, there are a commission that deals with the disease and people that are missing since the dictatorship. He dismissed all the members of that institution and put members that he likes. But then the public ministry ruled that he cannot do that and ordered to reinstate the former members. So we have this friction right now of the government trying to transform this country in something that is for right. sure not a democracy, but the institutions of the state are reacting and trying to stop several of those actions.
In addition,
including the arrest of Greenwald.
Right. Well, in addition to reporting on Moro, the Intercept also reported on the prosecutor in the anti-corruption scandal, the big case, the so-called car wash scandal, Deltan Dalagno, who was essentially found by the Intercept to have been taking money from the same company that he was investigating, giving secret talks to bankers. All of these corrupt individuals were involved in ensuring that Lula was not eligible for election, you know, because they knew that he was so popular he would be reelected. And then Bolsonaro came in and easily defeated Michel Temer, his replacement, who was also also caught up in the scandal. It seems as though Bolsonaro has benefited from a sort of conglomeration of events and has built his power on the same kind of corruption that they were accusing Lula of.
Yeah, let me try to make a parallel. In the US, We nowadays believe that Cambridge Analytica played a very important role to hurt the democracy in the US and helping Trump to get elected. It's almost the same here in Brazil. We believe that the way that Moro and this guy Dallagnani act, they interfered with the democratic process and guaranteed the election. They guaranteed the election of Bolsonaro. You didn't mention, but Moro also was guiding the investigations that Dallagnani
Right.
was working on. That's forbidden. A judge cannot investigate. He receives the case and judges the case, but he's not an investigator. So he did.
He's supposed to be
Moro
the
didn't.
arbiter of justice between the prosecution and the
Yes,
defense, but he was
of
directing
course.
the coordinating with the prosecution. Yeah.
Exactly, and say, oh, don't present that thing. Don't talk about that guy. Go towards these directions, and then I will help you to bring the case to court. So it's very, I mean, it's not justice. It's almost a coup.
Now, at the same time that you and I are talking, there is a huge set of protests that have been taking place around the country around the issue of education cuts in Brazil. The protests, there have been thousands of people, students and teachers protesting, I understand, across Brazil because he has cut millions of dollars from education budgets. Is this part of the sort of pro-corporate, anti-social agenda that Bolsonaro has been putting forward?
Of course it is, but just to give a better understand of the size of that cut, is 30% of the education budget. 30% of the federal education budget has been cut. So we have universities that are not serving meals to the students. They have to stop cleaning the classrooms, etc. They don't have money to pay. They don't have money to pay electricity. Some are without electricity. Bolsonaro and many people around him, they believe that education at it's not education makes people to think about things, you know, gives people the ability to rationalize and build up a personal opinion about facts. They don't like that. Furthermore, during the Lula government, there was a major expansion in the high level education. Much more people were able to go into the universities.
Right,
So
just as
that's
he
another.
strengthened a lot of programs that benefited ordinary people in Brazil, education was a big part of Lula's agenda, which of course his critics didn't like.
But one of the reasons that also Bolsonaro has to put those cuts towards education is that he expanding literally billions of reais, half a billion of dollars, on the people from the Congress. They have in Brazil, they can have a project. They can have up to 50 million reais of projects that the deputy will send money to people that elect them, to mayors
So
or
their own
whatever.
pet projects that then they distribute to their friends.
Yes, but the timetable to release that money is very flexible. It can take up to 4 years. He is releasing all that money as we speak and cutting from education to, first of all, try to guarantee that his son is approved as the ambassador for Brazil in the US, to get approved several of the new laws that they are trying to pass through Congress. So he's buying the Congress. But you know, the money is on, there is only one money. If you give to one area, you have to take out from another one because the budget is limited by
Right.
law, actually. He
I want
chose to cut some primarily from education.
I want to turn to, that's a good point to pivot to how propaganda has really bolstered support for Bolsonaro. If the population, isn't getting as much education funding, critical thinking falls. And I mentioned the New York Times article a few days ago, a very lengthy investigation called How YouTube Radicalized Brazil. I mean, we know here of the role that Facebook played in the 2016 US election. In Brazil, it turns out that YouTube was the primary vehicle through which misinformation was spread and continues to spread. Can you comment a little bit or explain to our American audience how YouTube has changed the political landscape and just even the state of discourse in Brazil?
Okay, if I can even make a little bit of propaganda, just watch the Hacked Democracy that is in Netflix, if I'm not mistaken. It's a very good documentary about, again, Cambridge Analytica and how do they produce media material based on the analysis of the vulnerabilities of each individual. So they see the vulnerability, what makes people afraid, and then they flood the internet with videos and other things trying to create alternative realities, and using the strategy of fear. They are very effective on that. I mean, Bolsonaro gave us a lesson on how to use social media to get elected, as did Trump in the US.
And indeed, they seem to be ideological twins, and their rise to power is quite, one is a reflection of the other. I mean, I understand that even, that YouTube's recommendation algorithm, which is what the New York Times article was talking about, led people in Brazil, no matter what they were watching, to pro-Bolsonaro propaganda videos, eventually, if not, right away.
Yeah. But nevertheless, I think Bolsonaro is going a little bit too far as a person, as I said in the beginning of our conversation, with very stupid statements like that he's going to eliminate all the left wings. What he said about the president of the attorney's bar a couple of weeks ago, the father of the president of the attorney's bar was tortured and murdered during the dictatorship. And Bolsonaro said, oh, if he wants to know what happened to his father, I can tell him, ask him to come and talk to me. And you know why he did that? Because the Bar Association forbid the federal police to get the telephones of the attorneys of the person who made that tried to kill Bolsonaro last year. So Bolsonaro thinks that the privilege between attorney and client is not good, that he has the right to know what the attorney is talking to a client in order to, I don't know, to his objectives. And because the Bar Association didn't let him do that, he made that statement about the fathers of the president of the Bar Association. And a week late, he put a new law together here in Brazil. The public companies, they have to publish the statements. No, the ones that are in the stock markets, they have to publish in the newspapers their balances. And he put a law together to that they don't have anymore. And he said that he made that law to take money out of the media companies, of the newspapers, because they are against him. He said literally that.
Wow.
So
Which
it's
again
madness.
mirrors
I mean, the law.
exactly what Trump says here in the US.
And again, the law may be good. I mean, I'm not talking about if the law is good or bad, but if he justifies in that way, it's madness. It's crazy.
What is the level of support in the public? I mean, I mentioned that in some sectors, or in many sectors, his political support remains strong, but is it possible he is overplaying his hands? I mean, certainly the left, in Brazil is not eliminated. There remain a lot of people still loyal to the principles that Lula embodied, then the woman who came after him, Dilma Rousseff, and indigenous communities, as I said, are fighting back. But what about sort of urban communities? Is Bolsonaro gaining ground or staying strong or losing ground politically?
That's a good question. First of all, we have to understand that he was not elected only by his supporters. He was also elected by the people that hate the Labour Party, that hate PT. So many people, probably half of the votes that he got was from people that didn't want the Labour Party back in power. Those people do not sign under Bolsonaro's ideas. They're just against the other guys, So he might have between 15 and 20% of the voting public. There is still many people that do support him strongly. But he's losing ground, I believe. For example, one of the promises that he had in campaign was to make easier for people to get a gun. And recent polls shows that over 70% of the population is against that. We see different sectors of the society reacting against this government. And we are talking for the first time, perhaps, that people that are left-wing thinkers and right-wing thinkers sitting together against something that's much bigger than that. We have a sort of Nazi fascist government in place here in Brazil. Bolsonaro says literally that now it's time for him to tell what happened in the history of Brazil, that everything that has been told so far is a lie. So he's trying to rewrite our history. This is the behavior of, a fascist regime, like the ones that ruled Europe during the Second World War, and maybe some countries after that, like in Yugoslavia and a few other places. He talks all the time about eliminating the minority.
And finally, do you worry that his rise to power, alongside the rise to power of other right-wing governments in Latin America, is creating a resurgence of a rightward trend of the kind that had sort of somewhat, dissipated in the 90s and 2000s and seems to be swinging back rightward?
Well, that's a long answer, perhaps. We saw that since the election, maybe of Trump. So that phenomenon goes beyond Latin America. We saw Trump, we saw the Brexit, we saw what almost happened in France with Le Pen,
Hungary, it was,
Hungary, and Thailand, and a
yeah.
few other places worldwide. I think left wings and right wings go in power in a, how can I say, seasonal way. They come and they go because basically who is not in power try to react against who is in power, and who is in power sometimes accommodate themselves and opens the door for being fragilized and for other things to come. Again, just this week, there was a primary election in Argentina, and the left-wing guy got 37% more votes than the current president, Macri, who is a right-wing guy. I think things are quite dynamic. I think what Trump is doing with this trade war, with about the walls in Mexico and what he's doing with immigrants, and then what's going on in Brazil with this crazy guy trying, saying that he's going to eliminate minorities, going against human rights, all that stuff. Every action has a reaction, and the reaction is beginning to get a scale. It's growing and it's getting organized.
Well, Ivo, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and giving us an update on the situation in Brazil. Really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk to you.
My guest has been Ivo Herzog, human rights activist based in Sao Paulo, president of the board of the Vladimir Herzog Institute. And we've been discussing the latest situation in Brazil. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.